back here on KETE Afternoons with Aaron. And it's a pleasure to have this guy on for the first time on KETE Radio, at least with me since I've been back as the sports director here at Elmer Elbert Lee. John Millay, who's the media specialist with the Minnesota State High School League. But if you follow high school sports in the state of Minnesota, you know John. You've read John's journal on the website of the Minnesota State High School League. You've seen his car around. His caricature picture of him is on the side of his car. So it's hard to miss when John Millay is at an event. And John, a good afternoon, and thank you so much for the time.
Aaron, glad to do it. I like to get down to your part of the state. There's always great stuff going on. I know lots of folks, lots of schools and lots of towns down there, and it's awesome to talk to you.
Now, John, when it comes to being a media specialist, for those that are not familiar with you, so we want to make sure our listening audience knows, who is John Millay? John, how long have you been a media guy for the Minnesota State High School League? I know you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I'm in my 12th year of doing this, and basically I'm an old newspaper guy. That's what I did before this. I grew up in Iowa, in northwest Iowa, in a little town. Worked at three newspapers in Iowa, Des Moines, Ottumwa, Cedar Rapids. Then worked at the newspaper in Phoenix, Arizona for 6 years. And then 30 years ago, 1991, got hired at the Star Tribune here in Minneapolis. Worked on the sports desk and then became a sports reporter and started covering high school sports and absolutely loved it. And then that kind of led to this job with the high school league. And in 2010, Dave Stead, the now retired executive director of the high school league, was really ahead of the curve here. He created this position as kind of a way for the high school league to tell stories of high school sports and activities in Minnesota, not depend on, you know, the traditional newspapers and the traditional media, who do a great job, especially here in Minnesota. But, you know, we can kind of tell our own stories and have a person on staff to tell those stories and handle social media and kind of be a public relations person. So that's what I do. And you know, in my newspaper life, I covered professional sports. I covered all the pro teams here in Minnesota and Division I college stuff. And I really enjoyed it. But nothing's better for me than being at a high school event and just hanging out with high school people and fans and teams. It's the greatest thing going.
John Millay with the Minnesota State High School League joining us here on KETE Radio. And John, I know you are all over the state on a weekly basis. How many games do you estimate fall, winter, and spring do you get to in one season?
Boy, that's a good question. Before we got to U.S. Bank Stadium for indoor football with the state semifinals and the Prep Bowl, I had seen 16 football games. So that's basically an 8-week season. I saw 16 games. So that includes the first round of the state tournament.
Okay.
But you know, and part of that was because of a shortage of officials. A lot of football games are not played on Friday night. You know, there were weeks where I'd go to two or three high school football games. That's math I've never done, Aaron. I don't really know. You know, this week I was at basketball games Monday and Tuesday. I'm not going anywhere tonight. I'm going to watch the Vikings and try not to pull out the rest of my hair. And then with the storm coming in tomorrow, apparently, I'm going to shut it down tomorrow, I think. And then Saturday, I might see 8 or 10 basketball games at the same site at Hopkins High School, the Breakdown Boys all day basketball extravaganza goes on. They do this. Last Saturday, they had girls games all day. They have two courts going. They bring in great teams from all over the state. I hope the snow doesn't disrupt travel for too many people. But so I'll see a ton of basketball on Saturday. You know, I've already seen hockey this year. I'll see a lot of wrestling as we get going here. Right now, it's kind of a quiet time till we get past the holidays for me. The finish of the fall season is really busy with all those state tournaments that are so much fun. And cross country and volleyball and football, of course, and everything else. And then it's pretty quiet for me, relatively speaking, until after January 1st. And then we kind of get ramped back up and then it's kind of a dead sprint to the winter state tournaments, which is all kinds of fun.
Now, John, we want to get you on, obviously, more often here on KATE. And my initial reaching out to you to get you on today is because you were in our neck of the woods earlier this week down in New Richland. And we know NRHEG in the last decade has a very rich tradition when it comes to girls basketball. And you have a nice story, a John's Journal, which you can check out at the Minnesota State High School League website, covering a Sydney Schultz who hit her 1,000th point, hit a milestone on Tuesday for the Panthers. So you were down in New Richland to cover that story. And John, was that your first time checking out there, Jim?
No, actually, I was in Blooming Prairie. That's where New Richland.
That's right. They were in Blooming Prairie on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I've been in that gym in New Richland many times, going back to the glory days when they won back-to-back state titles with Carly Wagner and all those great players and John Schultz. Schultz, Sidney's dad, was the head coach then. Now he's an assistant. And I had seen that Sidney, I think it was last week when she actually got to 1,000. I saw a tweet about that, and I thought, that's got to be John's daughter. So, you know, I do a little investigative journalism and find out, yeah, not only is that John's daughter, he's an assistant coach. And I'm such a fine journalist. He's been an assistant coach for 3-4 years. I didn't even know that until I saw the tweet about Sidney. So I went down to Blooming Prairie. I'd never been in the awesome Blossom Gym. It was a fun time, a good night. And I had talked to John on the phone earlier that day and chatted with him after the game, and Annika Peterson, the coach, who I know from her days as an assistant to John back in 2012, 13, and 14 when those teams went to state and won back-to-back titles, and talked to Sidney after the game and had John and Sid pose for a photo. And those are really the kind of stories I love to do, you know, stories about people and families and tradition and small town stuff. And I got to know John really well back when they had their great run. And I just think so highly of him, and it was good to catch up with him and learn that, you know, he's retired from teaching. He's a substitute teacher. He fills in as a bus driver and he drives the girls basketball team bus. So that's pretty awesome. There were a lot of cool pieces to this story. And it was really fun to hang out in the gym at Blooming Prairie and watch the New Richland kids play the Blossoms and then chat with folks afterwards.
John Millay, Minnesota State High School League, John's Journal at mshsl.org. And, you know, I love reading the story because I cover the team during their first state championship, a run. You mentioned a back-to-back. I think 2014 to 2015 was the back-to-back titles. We know about Carly Wagner, who went on to have a great career at the University of Minnesota. And you mentioned Sydney's older sister, Jane Schultz. It was nice to get a mention of her in the story because Jade, she was a big part of that team that won back-to-back titles too.
Yeah, Carly clearly was the superstar. I mean, she's the second leading scorer in state history. But that was a real team. And you know, I saw that when I watched them play. I watched them play a lot over that stretch. And Jade was a fantastic player. And she ended up she was originally going to walk on at the U of M, and then their coach changed and things kind of got muddled up, and I think she ended up going to Minnesota State Mankato. I don't think she played basketball. And my recollection is she had a bad knee injury too. But yeah, she was a heck of a player. And John laughed when we were talking. I said, what's Jade doing now? And, well, she's a special ed teacher. That's the family business. Everybody, mom, dad, kids are all teachers. A special ed teacher in Maple Lake. And then John laughed and said, I think tomorrow he's going to be a substitute teacher for her. She's got something she has to get done. So dad's going to come in and sub. So that's a cool little sidebar here too.
And, you know, I think I got the years wrong. I believe it was maybe a 2013 to 14. Does that sound right?
They went to state in 2012 and then won it the next 2 years.
Okay. So just want to make sure I got those dates right again. 2013, 2014, back-to-back as state champions for New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva. Again, make sure to check out John's story online. And, John, I know you have a podcast as well. Talk about that so people can check it out that I think you do on a weekly basis.
Yeah, Aaron, I do. Jim Suhan, my former colleague at the Star Tribune, who's one of the sports columnists there, we do a high school sports podcast every week. And it's really interesting for me. We've been doing it for more than a couple of years now. And we kind of hit everything that's going on in the world of Minnesota high school sports. And I hear from more and more people everywhere I go that really enjoy it. It's called Prep Today with John Millay, MILLEA. So any, yeah, and we, purposely we made that rhyme because nobody knows how to pronounce the Malay. It's not an easy word. It's Milia, Malaya, but it's Malay. So the podcast is Preps Today with John Malay. Wherever you get podcasts, you can find it. We love hearing from people who've listened, and it's really fun to do. And I'm definitely not a radio guy. I'm a print written word guy, but it's fun to venture into a new territory and get a kind of an outline of a draft of a script put together. And Jim and I just talk about what's going on, and we mention as many great things as we can, and we never run out of things to talk about. That's the deal, you know, around throughout the year, even in the summer, there are things going on. You know, this in the latest episode, which is out now, we talked about shot clocks a lot, which is a hot topic with the High School League Board of Directors approving shot clocks last week that'll come in a couple seasons for basketball. So yeah, there's always things to talk about. There's always things to write about and tweet about, and it's a cool little world of high school sports in Minnesota.
John Malay here on KATE. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to discuss the topic of the shot clock with you. And I had Tom Jones. He's a guy that joins me for a many, many broadcasts here on KATE Radio. And we were talking about it on the air just the other day. I believe that this came from a game I broadcasted when I worked a full-time up in New Prague, Hopkins and Shakopee. I think a lot of basketball fans, when they go, okay, why would we need a shot clock? It goes back to that game where, if you don't remember, Hopkins would win the tip in overtime and then hold on to the basketball and take the final shot of OT. Shakopee could have played defense on them and forced them to bring the ball into, you know, an offensive set, but they never did. Do you believe that's the game that might have triggered the talk to begin with, and now in 2023-24 season, it's a reality for varsity basketball? We're going to have a 35-second shot clock.
Yeah, I think that really opened a lot of people's eyes. When it's a state semifinal game, it's on TV all over the state, and guys are standing there holding the ball. Clearly, that was the biggest. That's the biggest thing, single thing you can point to. There have been other games. You know, there was a Marshall High School held the ball a couple years ago. I don't know if it was in New Ulm or somewhere. And with social media now, you know, you see video of that.
Yep.
I saw a game, it was in Perham maybe 3 years ago, and it was one of these all-day jamboree deals. Perham wasn't playing, and I don't even remember who was, but one team held the ball, you know, for the last 6 minutes of the first half. The other team didn't come out to challenge, so they just stood there for 6 minutes. And you know, and that's legal. You can do that. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun to play. But yeah, I think that Hopkins Shaco thing was huge. But the biggest hinge that really clicked here was earlier in the year, the National Federation of State High School Associations. That's the overarching national body that creates rule books, you know, for high school sports, all, you know, in every state. They basically, their basketball rules committee basically said if any states want to go ahead and use your shot clock, that's fine. They didn't mandate it. It's not a national thing that you have to. But they basically had said, no, we're not in favor of shot clock. Some states have done it anyway. Some states have done it for 30 years. But with that, that was a huge thing. That really tipped the scales when the National Federation says, go ahead, you have the option to do this. I think that really, really made a difference here in Minnesota and a lot of other states. I think a lot of other states now are going to be doing shot clocks here before too long. So, it kind of back then, that game on TV got people going, hey, wait a minute, this isn't good for basketball. Yeah. And then the National Federation saying, you know, thumbs up. If you want to do shot clocks, we're fine with that. I think those were the two bookends on this thing. So, yeah, in the 23-24 season, we're going to have shot clocks. And I've talked to a lot of administrators, big schools and small schools. It's not cheap. You know, it's going to take some expense. But especially at the small schools, they tell me, you know, they can come up with the money. You can usually find a few $1,000s. They can get them purchased. They can have them installed. But the biggest issue that they seem to see is training people to operate a shot clock and then having enough people available.
Yep.
It's almost like another official, because you can't just come in there and, you know, be told, hey, every time the ball hits the rim, push this button and restart the shot. It's not that simple.
Correct.
And I don't understand all of it, but I've talked to enough basketball officials who work Division II and Division III basketball or junior college basketball, which they all use a shot clock, and they all tell me it's not without its issues. You know, if you don't have somebody running it who isn't aware of what they're supposed to do, sometimes they have to stop everything, go talk to the shot clock guy, get the clock set to where it's supposed to be. And so there'll be a learning curve for everybody, but as long as you know we're all in it together, that's part of this deal. It's not going to be without roadblocks and speed bumps, but we're going to get there. And I think even on this podcast, when Jim Suhan and I were talking about it, I predicted, I don't make many bold predictions because I'm not very smart, but I said within a couple of years after we all have shot clocks, we probably won't even notice them.
True.
I mean, there'll be times at the end of a half and the end of a game, you know, you're protecting a lead, you're going to have to get a shot up. But I said, you know, I just don't think it's going to be a big factor. It's good for the game. It'll make basketball better because you're not going to be able to hold the ball. But I think it's just going to become, you know, another like in Minnesota high school basketball, we play two halves. I think the rest of the country still plays four quarters. We don't even think about that. That's just how we do it. So I think it's a good move, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
John Millay, Minnesota State High School League, joining us here on KETE. And John, before I let you go, you did bring up the one point for those that might be against having a shot clock as the expense that it's going to add to schools and hiring another body to run the shot clock. Have you heard anyone talk about the way it's going to change the game? Now, I've talked to some of basketball fans that don't like it because some teams, it takes longer for them to set up their offense, and now you're forcing kids to have to chuck the ball up when a coach might say, hey, we want to run our offense to get the best shot or to get the best layup. And there's some fans that don't like the way the pace of the game is going to change. Have you heard that as well, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. And, you know, I see a lot of basketball. I don't generally go if it's two of the best teams in the state. I'm not necessarily looking for games like that. I might go to a game where I'm going to write about a specific coach or a player or an official or whatever, or the rivalry. But I go to a number of basketball games where neither team is really very good. You know, they might be in a rebuilding phase. They just have a new coach, whatever. They're just not as skilled as a lot of teams. And when you have two teams like that matched up, you know, just getting that ball across the midcourt in 10 seconds can be a challenge sometimes.
Correct, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some hurry-up offenses there with some pretty ugly shots thrown up. But, you know, that's going to be part of the game. And we're all going to have to adjust to that. Coaches certainly are going to have to adjust. And if you've got – you know, a team that's playing a full court press, and the team with the ball gets the ball across the court in 9.5 seconds. Well, now all of a sudden, you got maybe 20 seconds to get a good shot up, and if the other team's really plugging the holes, that's going to be a challenge. So yeah, and there's going to be some mismatches. You're going to have a really good team against a team that's not very good, and I think the shot clock is going to make that gap even wider in that situation. But again, this is how we're going to play basketball in a couple of years. I'm kind of curious to see if in the next two seasons, if we have any instances of teams holding the ball. Because it's legal this season. It'll be legal next season. I'm just curious to see if you can't blame a coach for employing a strategy that the coach thinks is the best way to win the game. Hey, that's certainly legal for another couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just curious to see if we're going to see that, and people in the stands will be hollering, shot clock. Well, not yet, but in a couple of years.
John Millay again, Minnesota State High School League. You can go check out John's journal at mshsl.org. Your Twitter handle is at mshsljohn. Did I get that right?
Yes, it is.
So that's
sure did.
You can find the link to the podcast. And, John, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We're going to do this, if you got time, on a more regular basis and make sure it's not years and years or maybe never the Acate airwaves. No. We want to make sure we get you on. And anytime that you're down in our neck of the woods, make sure you let us know.
I sure will, Aaron. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. Look forward to doing it again.